Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
The word is respect. R-E-S-P. You know Aretha Franklin sung this, right? Respect. Here's the deal.
Shout out what it means to me.
Shout out what it means to me. When you have it and you are respected in your line of work, sometimes you get things that you're maybe not supposed to. And when we talk about these coaching searches and trying to figure out who the right guy is and trying to get a guy into your building and trying to get a face-to-face, it's respect. Now, maybe a coach falls in love with an organization, Mike, and they just blow him away, and that could be the case with the Giants and Harbaugh today. But according to our buddy Connor Hughes, who reports on the NFL, he says the reason why there is a very good chance that we are going to get a face-to-face with John Harbaugh is because of Matt Ryan. And that Matt Ryan and Harbaugh have a mutual respect between each other that might give him a chance to not only get a face-to-face, Mike, but also give us an opportunity to kind of sell what this is going to look like. The Giants are getting that opportunity. They're making a massive push to try to get him done today. And I don't know if that's going to happen, but I hope this is the case. And this is why I've been saying, I think, Mike, we're going to get that. I don't think Harbaugh shuts it down today. But who knows? Maybe the ownership there with the Giants, and you know it better than I do, for the years that you were there, maybe the offer is so ridiculous that he can't turn it down. I don't know.
Well, I was just tweeting out there. I mean, after thinking about this, remember, I'm Joe Judge. People want to know who Joe Judge is. I really thought Daboll would be better based on what he did with Josh Allen in Buffalo, but he just flamed out. And they rolled the dice on Daniel Jones, and it came up snake eyes. But the Mara and the Tisch families, they know in New York, the New York media is saying, basically what you just said, you can't let Harbaugh leave the building.
You can't.
You know? But I will say this, for Harbaugh, you know, Baltimore to New York, you've just six times the media size, the pressure, the heat, the juice, which is cool because if you're a star there, if you can make it there, as Frank said, you can make it anywhere. But do you want to deal with that? Come to Atlanta? If that's part of the consideration, if the money's even Steven. If nothing else, Carl, he can use us for leverage because the Giants have to land him. You know, Orrin made a great point during the break. We hope we can get him, but the Giants, because of all the things I just said, they can't not get him up there.
Yeah, it feels like more of a fail than it might hear. But it still feels like a fail for us because we have never hired anybody of the caliber with the Super Bowl qualities and you know, a head coach. We've talked about this. I've talked about it for the last few weeks. Arthur has always gone with the up-and-coming guy, and that's fine. But if you got a chance to get proven, sometimes you might want to go that route. But it will feel like a bigger fail in New York, no doubt about it, because the Giants and what they've been dealing with. 404-726-0929. As we start the 3 o'clock hour, guys, is brought to you again by our friends at Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Here's the deal, though. Mike, what if we don't? Maybe he doesn't make it out of the building today, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe he's, hey, it gets out. Harbaugh's found his spot. He's going to stay. He's going to be the Giants head coach. Where do you immediately pivot to? And we do not know, by the way, the Falcons haven't already done this, okay?
Right. They have an idea. Matt's got a whole game plan, hopefully. But we don't know. We've never seen Matt do this before.
No, but where do you pivot to? If he is candidate one, which we do not know, this is Mike and I talking about what we want. And a lot of times this organization has listened to us. Most times they have not, okay? And that is, just being honest with you, the times they've listened to us, we're to a Super Bowl. Mike, 2014-15, what did we say? We need a center.
Right, Alex Mack, they went and got it.
They went and did it, and we went to a Super Bowl. So sometimes they listen to us, sometimes they don't. What do you pivot
to? If Matt is prioritizing experience, then Stefanski. But that's not as certainly sexy as Harbaugh. Tomlin, we said, because he may just simply take a year off and not going to field any offers. You know, unless somebody throws, I guess, unless somebody makes a major play for Harbaugh and then throws some money at Tomlin, but you may have to give compensatory picks to the Steelers.
Yep.
Since he wasn't fired, he quit. But now, if I ran the team, I'm trying to lock up Kubiak. I want Clint Kubiak.
Okay.
But that's the risk, though, because just what I mentioned about the Giants. We've rolled the dice. Arthur Blank has never, ever signed a head coach who has been a head coach. As I said yesterday, he inherited Dan Reeves. Everybody else was a first-time NFL head coach. Morrow was an assistant, you know, back in the day. Smitty was an assistant. Quinn was an assistant. Raheem had been a head coach. So, yes, technically he did hire Raheem, who had been a head coach, but we know how that turned out. So would you go back to the well of a guy who's yet unproven, but the Kubiak name is pretty darn good, brings a lot of cachet. And it lines up with a lot of what we're already doing. Defensively, the tree from Shanahan to Sala to Ulbrich and all that kind of makes a lot of sense. So that's why I love the idea of Kubiak, because Kubiak is an offensive-minded coach. You already got the defense here with Ulbrich, and then you get the most out of Michael Penix. I didn't say fix. Get the most out of Michael Penix Jr.
I'm so glad you didn't.
All right, you got to fix Michael Penix Jr.
Don't say that. 404-726-0929. Where do you pivot to? If Harbaugh's your number one, okay, and the reason why we're talking about this, he is in the Giants building today. They are trying hard. Here's what we already know, and this is we knew this going in, but it's been reported now, and the Giants, Mike, are willing to not only pay him, which is part of this, right? We know the teams that are interested. I said this to you guys. They know what the going rate is. But they also are willing to give him whatever staff he wants. And I get the sense Joe Shane's going to be marginalized. Yes. I feel like the current general manager there, if you do that for Harbaugh and you allow the world is yours, come in and fix this. The current general manager is going to be marginalized. He's not going to have the power that he had, even though allegedly, Mike, he's in on this hire. He fired Dable, and they said, oh, we're keeping him, and you're going to be a part of this coaching search. But not if Harbaugh has full and total control.
Yeah, and I don't know what I believe the Marrow side of the ownership is pushing Joe Shane to stay. I don't see why.
Me neither.
I think they should be looking for a new general manager as well. Because this guy is a nightmare. I mean, they've gone completely backwards, and we already talked about, you know, the great gamble. It's 3 weeks of that behind the scenes on HBO with them with Saquon. Have good luck in Philly, idiot. You know, and then we talked Daniel Jones. You know, cut. You and I said it from all the way down here, looking up at the Giants. Cut bait. Let him go. Let somebody else fix him. And the Colts have tried to. But yeah, I would not want to get in the unless, as you said, he's basically stating his terms, and the Giants going to roll with it.
We're going to see. We are going to keep you updated throughout the course of the afternoon right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Meanwhile, we started the show by saying, Mike, who are the Falcons going to add to this list of interviews?
Well, Antonio Pierce apparently is talking to the Falcons today. Again, don't know if it's on the phone or face-to-face, but a guy that won a Super Bowl with the Giants, tough guy, took over for the Raiders and then got fired the next year after leading the Raiders to under 500. But a dude who's defensively minded, don't really know what kind of staff he would put together and how that would look. But I like the guy's juice. I think he's got energy. You know, he's kind of like a very, very, very poor man's Mike Tomlin because he's a guy that demands accountability.
He does. Look, I sometimes you get a raw deal. The Raiders, look at how they've gone, man. 1 year fired, 1 year fired, 1 year fired. Like, that's been their coaching tree over the last 5 to 6 years. You just can't get any stability. And look, I know what you're going to say. Well, those guys didn't prove, just like Rob maybe didn't prove over the last couple of seasons. Why wait? You continue to move on. But that's kind of been their MO. They've done this for a very long time, which is why that franchise has been mediocre at best. So you at some point, you got to get some stability. So I'm saying this to say Antonio Pierce, I didn't think he did a terrible job. And we forget the previous year when he took over was the reason why he got the job, because guys really responded to him. They went on a nice little run. They beat Patrick Mahomes at the end of that season. He gets the job. They come back. And a year later, he's fired.
Right. Meanwhile, I don't know if you want to bring this kind of heat on yourself in your first job as a head coach, but Chris Shula, the grandson of Don Shula, has been linked to the Dolphins. And
DC out with the
talk
Rams.
About the synergy. Yeah, man, he's the guy that replaced Raheem Morris as the defensive coordinator. That would be interesting, and that I think would be adding a lot of extra pressure on yourself to do that. But Shula, he was the fourth overall defense behind the Vikings, Texans, and Seahawks according to Pro Football Focus and all their metrics. We all know what he's got on that team. The rookies they drafted. It's a really stout defense. He's also linked to Tennessee. You want to take that on? You know, coach your grandpa coached?
No, I don't. That's too much.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, look, he looks the part. He looks right out of Central Casting like his grandpa.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, that would bring in the old heads with the new. You're right about that. But I also think you're asking for a lot, because you know what the first thing they're going to say, Mike, and it is the ultimate put down. He's not his grandfather.
Yes, exactly. No, it would be tough. They say that he helped to develop Kobe Byron. One could argue that Jared Verse and Kobe, and those guys came out of the box ready to go.
They did.
I can attest for Fisk and for Verse. But he did, like, to all the things we've bellyached about Raheem. Raheem did leave the Rams in great shape defensively.
Yeah. All right, man. Lots going on. Commanders are hoping to interview Vikings DC Brian Flores for their DC position. I think Flores would love to be a head coach. Mike said it. Is it still too much going on with the league there where a team might be reluctant to give him a shot as a head coach? He can be a DC, and, you know, I don't know if the Vikings is where he wants to be, but that's Dan Quinn, who's basically looking for somebody to come in and say, I need to run the team.
Right.
Finally, he's figured this out. He didn't do this while he was here. He tried to take things over. He did during the Super Bowl run, but Mike gave those duties back up and then tried to control everything at the end. I need somebody to run this defense. So he fired, one of his good friends, and now they're interviewing Brian Flores.
Some dark horse candidates for some of these openings. First off, Marcus Freeman took himself out of the running for any NFL job, saying that I'll pursue NFL maybe in the future. But I'm at Notre Dame. Young, good-looking, charismatic guy who's, you know, that you saw what they did to the Georgia Bulldogs last year.
Yeah, and don't you think that's a good idea, though, for him where he's at? Or do you think he should have gone to the NFL, or at least try?
I mean, it's you're that's the ultimate wild card, because you're asking a guy to put a staff together. You got to surround him with some OGs, right? You know, it's a calculated risk. The NFL has been littered for decades with college coaches that had never coached as a head coach in the pros, and been, you know, either disasters or flamed out pretty quick. You know, going all the way back to Lou Holtz.
That's right. Quit on the Jets.
Bobby Petrino with us. But the other name is, and this is interesting, the Steelers may be interested in Kurt Cignetti. Now, wow, right? I mean, same thing. But now he does have connections because he's been in the game for so long. He's going to have a network of guys that he could pull from and other associates in college and pro to maybe put a staff together. But that's an interesting one.
It is very interesting. You know what else is interesting? CBS announced that Kirk Cousins is going to join them as a guest studio analyst for the division round and the AFC championship.
Oh, the camera loves him. Kirk can do TV if he wants.
A heartbeat. But isn't that an irony that it's CBS and Matt just left CBS and now Cousins is going to be a guest analyst? Well, look, we wish him nothing but the best, but Mike's right. Well, last time we spoke to Kirk, we were both saying this after he left the room, like, he could easily do the TV thing if he wants to do it. And, you know, a lot of times he's given us longer answers than even we've asked for as he's tried to explain some of this stuff, but it's fun, and he can be, Mike, what's the word, quirky? What, with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, Kirk, like, he's got, like, Kirk, I think, eventually, and by the way, there's a lot of rumors, we'll talk about it in Guy Talk, that CBS is seriously, and I don't know if they're seriously considering, but everybody thinks they should be seriously considering dropping Romo from the A-team.
Okay.
And bringing J.J. Watt, because the other idea would be, and you're not going to put Jim Nantz on the sideline for the AFC championship, but to advance, I guess it's, is it Watt, Oren, that works with Ian Eagle? Is it Watt, J.J. Watt, is working with Ian Eagle? Anyway, that would be one of their better teams at CBS, the perception. Because Fox has got some of the better guys. You know, they got Greg Olson. Brady, we said, has really kind of elevated his game. But the idea that, I could see Kirk Cousins being a Tony Romo and better at it than Tony has been of late.
Yeah. All right. That's gonna be interesting.
Don't you? Right? You agree?
I do agree. And, you know, the thing is, I love Ian Eagle. So whoever, you know, that should, in my opinion, if Nantz is not there, Ian Eagle obviously took over Nantz's spot with the NCAA, Mike. Right. I love his stuff.
Yeah, it's Ian Eagle with J.J. Watt. Yeah, they consider that. And a lot of folks feel that's better than what you're getting from Romo. Not Nantz's fault. He's just He tries to steer Tony in the right direction.
Jim! All right, we're coming back, guys. We got a lot more to get to. We're going to find out what's on Day-Day's mind a little bit later on this hour. Also, we'll get into some college football news. Big news today from the Oregon quarterback. Also, we find out that a wide receiver is staying. A lot of guys staying. And a lot of guys that we thought might be making their trip to the NFL, not necessarily. We'll tell you all about it coming up on Dukes and Bell.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're keeping a close eye on these developing stories that are happening around the NFL. And what's going to happen with Harbaugh? John Harbaugh is meeting with the Giants today. Doesn't mean the deal's going to get done, but it could. And it has us wondering, okay, if that happens, Falcons obviously have other guys that they're very, very interested in. And it's funny because we've been talking about all these guys. Mike has given you his fave. I've told you who I want. But we do not know who they want. And that is what is really the part of this equation where you go, all right, all these guys sound great. And I said to you guys, but what if they hire somebody that we really don't expect them to?
Are you talking about the October surprise?
Exactly.
Or this be the January surprise?
Exactly right.
The left field candidate?
What if they end up going that route? Because it's possible.
You know what? Matt's called a press conference. Guys, I've talked to these dudes. I don't like anything I'm hearing. I will be your coach.
Wait, wait a minute.
I will be your player coach.
No. He's not going to do any of that.
You know, unless, of course, Matt's working on Kirby Smart.
You really think I'm going to answer
that question? You know what? You really did trigger some folks yesterday with that.
Now, again, Matt, of all the names he could have pulled out, is again, but it's also credit to Kirby being elite. And Matt did reference how great he is and thought of as like a coach, how good he does with defense. And it was funny because, man, we had some dog fans losing their minds at the end of the show yesterday.
No, they were. Nobody wants to talk about Kirby going anywhere.
Steak picked up the ball and rambled on the steakhouse. Kirby will coach in the NFL someday. I'm sorry. It's going to happen.
No, he won't.
I'm telling you, Cha-Cha, he's going to coach in the NFL.
For what?
Someone's going to throw some serious money at him.
I know nothing about football, and most listeners would say amen.
For what?
Kirby, the landscape of college football continues to evolve. Like Saban, he will take another, he will go to the pros, make more money.
Yeah. All
right. Wow.
We'll see. I am a firm believer.
I'm not saying it happened tomorrow.
Oh, okay. You're saying 10 years from now.
I didn't say 10 years. I'm saying 5.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't believe that to be true. I just don't, man. Like, for all the things that have changed, and this is where we are with the Kirby Smart conversation, because, again, some Falcon fans hear that, and they're like, are y'all serious? No. Matt mentioned it, and it just had everybody's ears perked up. Kirby's down the street. He's winning at a high level. It makes total sense to make a reference to who was conceived perceived to be a defensive-minded guy.
Right.
Can that guy win? It's not about one guy. He understood he's got to hire the staff. Look at all the staff changes Kirby's gone through since he's gotten there.
See, that's the thing that came up. I read a couple of pieces, and of course you're going to get this because, you know, the younger generation, not, and I don't mean younger, all you guys who are younger than us right now, but there's always that little snarky element. You see, Tomlin's style doesn't work anymore in today's NFL.
Really?
Like, players don't get yelled at in the NFL. Players aren't held accountable.
Yeah.
I mean, look, that I read that in a few different websites. I was like, come on, man. You're a winner, you're a winner. You know, if you want to talk about the Steelers, and you and I debated yesterday, the general manager didn't put enough good stuff on the field. You know, and they never planned for the life after Roethlisberger. You know? So some of that was beyond his control. But I don't buy that. Now, look, I don't think you can go Bobby Knight on people. I don't think you can do that. But I do think there's still a place in this world to be for guys to buy in to the motivation. So Kirby's my point is would translate to the NFL.
Yes, totally. Well, and remember, guys, I think, you know, he spent some time in the league, a short period of time, if I remember correctly, Mike. But yes, I think it would translate. I don't think – I'm not telling you he couldn't do it.
Right.
I just feel like with all the things that have happened – he's still the one coach that's on top of his game.
Right.
Right?
Well, now, again, it hasn't translated to the last three, but he is the guy
but you've been in
a
playoffs.
Changing landscape who's still viable.
The problem is, Georgia fans, you're spoiled. He spoiled you. You've been in the playoffs the last 3 years. You just haven't had a playoff win. And now, all of a sudden, Mike, this starts to build, right? Well, we're in it every year, but we ain't winning no game. That's very interesting. When you go back a decade ago when he took the job and you were begging – to just have somebody come in here and win 10, 15 games, whatever it was, 12 games, Mike, and play for a national championship.
If you just tuned in to Dukes and Bell, where you been, man? We were talking earlier, New York is really going all after Harbaugh, and reports from the media up there saying that, you know, maybe could give him everything he's looking for, and that could be a big budget for his staff, big budget for him, and a big say in the PR, I should say in the HR, no, not HR, in the personnel department. Although if you screw up, you'll be in front of HR, and you'll have bad PR. But as far as him up there in New York, that sounds like, you know, why would he come down here? Because the reports we read say he respects Matt Ryan. So, and why wouldn't, if you have New York coming after you hot and heavy, why don't you still talk to Tennessee and us? And if nothing else, maybe you crank out another $2 to $5 million, right?
Yep.
Get a little leverage. And that's what we got from Connor Hughes. We're supposed to be in his top three. Diana Rossini had that yesterday. So we'll see where that goes. Stefanski, a couple guys hit us up on the text line. Samir writes, why would we settle for a 45 and 56 Stefanski if Kubiak's available? Because, you know, fair or unfair with all the dysfunction in Cleveland, that's still, you're hiring a coach who's under 500 for his career in Kevin Stefanski.
No, it's true. But you're also hiring somebody who's done it. And there is an inherent danger when you hire a young coach that you get exactly that, learning on the job. Are all his assistants going to be 15-year-plus guys in the NFL? Are you going to put that kind of experience around him so that you feel very comfortable? There is a formula to this, but a lot of times that doesn't play out like that. So I hear you, but you're getting a guy who's done it. You're getting a guy who understands what it takes in this league versus somebody who says, I think I can do the job. We've all been there. I think I can do that job until you get in the job. And then you realize, okay, maybe I'm not seasoned enough, Mike, to do the job. Ra revealed something very interesting to us this year. For those of you who listened on Wednesdays, and by the way, I'm really excited about that, Mike, to see who we're going to be talking to moving forward. But Ross said to us at one point at the end of the season, it's easy to be in the film room with the clicker and make these decisions. But when you have to make them on Sunday in real time.
Yes, it's hard.
It's hard.
But that's why you didn't do this job for free either, pal.
And but I'm not, it's not banging on him, Mike. Right. That's not the point. The point is you think you can do it. Until you have to do it.
Everybody can play Madden. Now do it in a sideline.
It's real.
On a visiting team.
It's real.
And 75,000 people screaming, and now you get 30 seconds, 29 seconds. No, I mean, but that's why the great ones know how to do it. And the ones who are under 500 for the career don't know how to do it.
Yeah, but I say that to say everybody says, yeah, I obviously I'm going to do this, that, and the other until you get in there. And that's a guy who had already had a chance to do it. So he's just telling you the reality in real time is not what it seems to be for everybody. It's like, that's so easy. Okay, it may be.
Hey, Dan Quinn, you could argue, still hasn't mastered it.
No.
Even last year with the Commanders at times, he's still, what are you, really? You remember we had to bring in the clock coach to help Quinn at the end?
Yeah.
I think it was like a 2019 or 2020 that we had that.
404-726-0929. Coming up, we'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind, keeping you updated. Okay, so now, see, this is what we're talking about. Steelers have now requested an interview with Vikings DC, Brian Flores. All of a sudden, Brian Flores, Mike, popping up, and multiple teams are interested. Now, Flores went to Pittsburgh and kind of revitalized his career.
Tomlin helped him in that area. Yeah.
Nobody wanted to hire him, allegedly, and everybody didn't want that heat. So Tomlin was like, fine, come. And he was a senior defensive assistant and linebackers coach, then got the job to get back in as a DC with the Vikings. But this shouldn't be a surprise because, again, I think people really respect what Brian Flores has done, Mike, as a defensive coordinator. And remember, I think Tomlin, when he took the job at 36 or 34, whatever he was, he's the DB's coach.
Right.
I believe.
Right. I mean, like, you know, Tony Dungy, when he got his shot, I mean, everybody, you got to have it. That's why I know a lot of guys are hung up on the fact that, you know, Stefanski hasn't done this as a head coach. But I think when you see who he's been around.
You're talking about Clint Kubiak.
Clint Kubiak, not Stefanski. But Clint Kubiak and the staff he's been around. And just look, Matt will do his due diligence in this process. And we brought Matt in because we didn't trust Arthur and his guys to do it. So now we got to hope that Matt gets it right. And if Matt feels that Harbaugh is just what we need and he likes the kind of staff Harbaugh is going to put together and Arthur's ready to cut those checks, and if Harbaugh finds us more attractive than the Giants, then you get your guy. But I'm not as interested in Stefanski. I really like Kubiak. I had Flores. He was on my list. We were talking about this a few weeks ago. Because Flores is like Tomlin, and Flores, you know, demands, there's accountability there. Tua found him a kind of a hard coach to play for.
He did.
In Miami.
No, you're right.
Reports are accurate.
Would you interview him?
Yes. Oh, totally. I would. See, this goes back to, is Arthur going to tote the NFL company line with a guy who's suing the league? You know, that's the one. And I mean, we can all dance around it, but at the end of the day, there's still a lawsuit. And I think there's some owners out there that don't care, and there's some that don't want that smoke with the other owners.
Yeah. Steelers obviously need this to get this process going. So they're going to try to talk to, you mentioned Chris Shula. He's on the Steelers list. Anthony Weaver, Flores. And then Jesse Minter, who I believe is with the Chargers, I believe.
Because guys are coming. Everybody off the McVay tree has had success.
Yeah.
Zach Taylor's had some steps back because of the injuries, obviously, with the Bengals. And Raheem is the first guy to really kind of ultimately be fired off the McVay tree.
All right, man. Lots going on.
But he
on.
Was his own man. He was the head coach before.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Lots going on. We will keep you updated throughout the course of the day. We are closely watching what comes out of New York in regards to John Harbaugh, because that's where I'm at. I'm still living in that, and I hope that they get an interview. They're scheduled to, at least. The problem is these interviews have not been scheduled. Giants got him today We don't know if the Falcons have already scheduled that interview, and the Titans apparently are on that list as well as the three teams that Harbaugh may be the most interested in. All right, we're coming back.
Harbaugh still your number one?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yeah. What is on Day-Day's mind?
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And coming up, why should we be buying this team? Defense continues to be an issue. We will certainly get back into that conversation as many of our callers are saying, hey, this Dukes and Bell, this is what we need. We need a big.
I've got the guy for you. Ivica Zubac.
Zubac
is with the Clippers. Clippers are looking to fire sale. If this now, the bad news is, and I just read this in SI.com during the break, is the Celtics are hot and heavy for a center, a big guy like Zubac.
Yeah, because it was Al Horford, right, last year. Mm-hmm. Prior to that was Porzingis, right? Right.
Zubac does have two eyebrows. I was looking for a unibrowed Eastern European, but he is from Croatia, so it checks that box for
me. Yeah, man, look, I like his game. He can play. We'll get back into the Hawks coming off that Lakers loss. They will play at Portland tomorrow. But Day-Day, man, lots going on today. What's on your mind?
A lot going on. Well, first off, man, just want to say this. In regards to Matt Ryan mentioning Kirby Smart.
Yeah.
What if everyone's gotten this all wrong? What side of the ball did the Georgia Bulldogs struggle on most early on in the season?
Defense.
And who's got a daughter at UGA?
Mike Tomlin?
Started seeing a lot of memes and things out there about
synergies, I think, is what Danny is.
What if Kirby were to lure Mike Tomlin to Athens, make him a co-DC?
Oh, Tomlin ain't going to come to college games. He's going to kick it. Relax. Come on now. That's crazy to me talking about Matt Ryan hiring Kirby.
Wait a minute. What happened to Schumann?
Right.
What, are you firing everybody?
No. Yeah.
Co.
No. And come on.
Listen, it keeps him in the coaching game.
Okay. Yeah.
And he avoids having to go to the south of France for a year and George doesn't have to trade anything.
No, stop.
No, seriously, though. Could you see him doing that at some point? Going into the college ranks?
You're talking about Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
There's so many moving parts in the college game now that I don't even think of. Although some would say now it's just a distillation of the pro game as it is, but no, I could not see Tomlin doing the college thing.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time too.
I just saw it though. It was like people just started posting this morning. I was like, that's very intriguing.
Well, here's the deal. If he did that, there's no draft compensation involved, right?
Exactly.
You're not trading for him. He's going to college. Like, yeah. There's some, and he's, you know, if you want to play that game, he's closer to his daughter on a daily basis and all that. That's fine. But I just have a hard time. I'm with Mike seeing him do that particular thing.
Yeah, I just thought it was something.
Here's the crazy thing: when these scenarios start playing out, and we've seen the craziness over the last couple of days, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of what ifs. There is a lot of, well, what if that. And I know that many times we just don't think these pieces fit together, but I will tell you, in this coaching world, they all know each other.
Yeah.
So it's not out of the realm of impossibility, but it's unlikely.
All right.
As you're speaking, I just got my Falcons invoice for this next season.
Oh, there
by
you
the
go.
Way.
Don't you do it?
No. I'm not quitting on them.
Just making
had they
sure.
not made changes, Carl, I might have been quitting on them. But I'm back for another year.
All right. Good deal. All right. Did you guys see the video?
Mike Missouri Bell, show me.
Thank you.
Did you guys see the video? Don't encourage him, please. See the video of Giannis Antetokounmpo last night booing the Bucks fans after he made a basket in it was an and one.
Why were they booing?
So apparently the crowd was booing the Bucks.
Okay.
I don't know if Giannis took this personal, if he felt like they were booing him directly.
Or maybe they're just ticked up at how long it takes him to launch a free throw. Like everyone else in the world.
Well, there were some comments saying, like, Giannis, no, we're not booing you. We're booing everything about this organization except you.
Okay.
But do you think the course is run in Milwaukee for Giannis?
So we are three games better right now than the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
This rebuild is not working. Doc Rivers is not a good coach. Sorry.
Yeah.
Proven. Hasn't been Great guy, good on TV as an analyst, mm-hmm. not a great coach.
Yep.
And this is not going where it needs to. And Giannis is trying to be the nice guy in the offseason and not want to, you know, force his way out.
Right.
He's going to. Yeah. He's going to.
And they showed a video later of him sitting on the bench. He looked like he was really emotional. They say he looked like he may have been crying. I can't necessarily tell because he's got his head.
Grown man.
Hey, listen, I teared up the other day when you guys named me
you
teammate.
Did. You did.
So right. Listen, it happens to the best of us.
You're right.
But you can't necessarily tell because for most of the shot, he's got his kind of his face in his hands, and then he does kind of wipe his face, but you don't necessarily see tears. But he did seem emotional, so maybe it's all getting to him at this point.
Mike?
Yeah, we just talked about it with the coaches in the NFL. Sometimes, you know, you played it out the string. Team's not really going anywhere. Doc Rivers has been abysmal, you know, as a head coach anywhere else other than Boston, you know, with his big three. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, the question is, what is the value for – it's like the same argument we have with some Trae Young fans. You think that he's worth something, but what, you know, what is a team willing to give Giannis at this stage of his career? And do you believe, you know, you're definitely in the luxury tax if you're pairing him with an established star – right?
Yeah.
And how does that work? And what do you see? That's the thing. I just don't know where is he going to wind up?
In my opinion, it has to be someone who is an immediate contender as soon as he hits that roster. I don't think
the Knicks, everyone in New York says that, but that's, you know, you are literally at the top of the tax bracket.
Yeah. If you're, yeah.
Right, Carl? I mean, that's we just talked about Bomber made some noise about him, mm-hmm. but they can't. We just talked about the Clippers are dead in the water and their cap situation is terrible.
Yeah.
What about Giannis to Miami?
Bam. Who else they got down there?
Yeah, you'd have to move some guys.
Yeah, because you got Bam down there.
Right on. I mean, Khalil Ware.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You'd have to move some guys.
Yeah. The big guy, Khalil, the big dude, right?
Right. Let me say this, too. Give me Paul Pierce, KG, and Ray Allen in their prime. I'm winning a championship.
Yeah.
And the bench shooting they had on that?
I think.
In other words, you don't want to put all of that credit to Doc Rivers.
Who? No. No,
Ubuntu.
Come on. I'm just saying, that team, go back to the 08, guys.
Yeah. Bundle of sticks.
That team.
It's kind of like, you know, Casey Jones when he was coach. Just roll the balls out, man.
Come on.
It's
yeah.
just,
go Kendrick do it. Perkins?
Yeah.
That's all right. Big Perk was on that spot.
Right. Yeah, great pull.
Yeah. Yep. All right, real quick.
Look at the numbers. So
the NFL Rookie of the Year nominees are out. I don't know. I feel a way about it because I think James Pierce Jr. and Xavier Watt definitely should be in the conversation, especially after I see the list of Jackson Dart, Tyler Shough, Trayvon Henderson, not mad at that, Ashton Jeanty, Tet McMillan, not necessarily mad at that, and then how do you say Carson's last name? Oh, help me out. Wes Schlesinger.
Okay.
Those are the six nominees. Now –
it's Carson's to lose. Carson had an amazing year. He and Tet McMillan both did the things that rookies are supposed to do, 1,000 yards receiving, and Carson had like 150 tackles this year. So
okay.
But I believe Ashton didn't even break 1,000, right?
975.
Right? Less than 10 touchdowns?
He had 10 exactly. 10
exactly.
5 receiving, 5 rushing.
Tyler Shough?
He didn't start half this season, and the argument I've heard against him is that what he did in 8 games doesn't justify him being in any Rookie of the Year. Like, his 8 games weren't that compelling enough to be like, oh, he was one of the best rookies this year. No, it gives you promise of what the Saints may, you know, have going forward, but not – it wasn't compelling enough to be Rookie of the Year guy.
Meanwhile, James Pierce Jr.
has got to be on this list. 10.5 sacks, you know. I mean, he's tied with some of the established stars, like – Max Crosby had 10. He had more sacks than Max Crosby. Montez Sweat, he's tied with Cam Jordan.
You're right.
So, this
and no rookie's even close.
No rookie. This is, I was a couple weeks ago, an ESPN writer, not going to mention his name just because I don't want this guy to get slammed, but traditionally he's not been the biggest, I guess, Falcons proponent, but he talked about, he went through and looked at James Pierce's sacks, and he was like, two of them he came unblocked.
Oh, come on.
So that doesn't matter.
That's the national narrative right now is the fact that, like, when guys are out there saying that, like, some of the sacks that James Pierce had, anybody could have gotten. That's what he's going against.
And right Michael
now.
Strahan played with 5 killers. You know what I mean?
Like,
you know,
come on.
And Brett Favre took a dive.
It's
you know what
true.
I mean? Come on.
It's true.
Yeah. Come on.
So – just got a little bit of, you know, I don't know. I admit, again, like you all say, maybe we're too close to it.
That's why I always say, when you talk about PFF metrics for offensive line, is it a double team? What is the situational stuff?
Right.
So I don't necessarily buy all that nonsense. But look, did he pass the eye test? Yes. Did we? Now, there were a couple of games where the entire Falcons defense needed that sack to occur on a crucial third down, or a fourth down and four. So that, I think that's going to evolve. Yeah.
It is.
But we're getting better. But, like, he had a massive impact. And I think Jalen Walker might have had 10 if he didn't have all those, you know, groin injuries and everything else he was dealing with.
Yeah, sat out. Yeah, exactly. So
Brandon Dorless in his second
year. So we're being cheated is what you're saying.
Yes.
I mean, I feel like a little bit, yeah.
Okay.
We're being marginalized.
I mean, Xavier Watts, okay, even if you don't put him on there, he should be in the conversation. He led the league in rookies with interceptions. Like, come on. Like, what are we talking about? All right, let's close out on something fun.
Xavier Watts is tied for second in the league in interceptions.
Who?
Overall, right, exactly.
Overall.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, hello, McFly.
So, there you go. All right, you guys familiar with the show Black Rabbit? On Netflix series.
I mean, how many things have I got to watch, man? It's like 5,000. No, I'm not.
Jason. I wasn't familiar with it myself,
right?
But
Jason.
Bateman.
Thank you.
Is this where they have the bar?
I've never watched it, but I know he's like it's mob, kind of mobster related. Jason Bateman's being chased across the country by the mob.
I think he's got a gambling issue.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Well, how about this? So, talk about staying true to who you are. One of the actors, and he's a main character, Forrest Weber. He's like one of the main gangsters, I think, in this series, chasing around Jason Bateman's character. This guy is also a game day attendant for the Brooklyn Nets. So players are like, Joel Embiid was like, the story really kind of revolved about Joel Embiid being like one of the ones to be like, yo, that guy looks like, I forgot the character's name.
Right.
He looks like him. And then some of the other staff there overheard Embiid and was like, "It is him," and they're like, "Embiid is like, no, it's not." And sure enough,
it is.
Come to find out, it's him. So he's like become kind of a surprise celebrity to like the visiting teams.
That's
like that,
cool.
Or those that are familiar with the show, because they're like, "Yo, what the heck are you doing here checking our towels?" And he called. Ironically, when he was young, he grew up in San Antonio.
Yeah,
he used to be a ball boy for the Spurs.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, and the Spurs, if you go and read the article, a lot of the staff and personnel that were with the Spurs then that are still around, they remember him and they talk highly of him and everything. But just thought it was really cool. I was like, can you imagine, like, you know, NBA players like looking at you like that, like, yo, why are you, you know, why are you in here? You're a celebrity, dude. What are you doing?
That is weird. So this is his side gig?
So he was doing it to help him while he was in acting school.
Wow.
And then just felt like the way his acting career was going as far as picking up gigs and things, he felt like it was like, yeah, it's not a lot of money, but, you know, he just enjoys doing it, and he never let it go.
Yeah,
still does it.
Likes being around the game.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
That's cool.
That's really cool. Yeah, that Black Rabbit, it came out, it's like a 6 or 7 episode kind of deal.
Yeah.
What's up, Bo? What's up?
This is unrelated to what's going on here, but an interesting tweet from Shams here, guys.
Okay.
New Washington Wizards star Trae Young is still recovering from MCL and quad injuries on the same leg and will be reevaluated after the mid-February All-Star break.
Okay. So he's not playing anytime soon.
Not anytime soon. They are fully committed to making sure they win no ball games in Washington this year.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. Yeah. No rush to get him back.
Hmm. None.
So we thought he was sandbagging here just to kind of stick it to the Hawks.
Interesting.
But again, I hope I didn't trigger a Trey fan. We apologize. He was not sandbagging, and in fact, the injury is that bad.
Or
they are simply
tanking. Point. Yes,
tanking without tanking. Tanking in a way the league can't say you're tanking.
Yeah, because he's already been injured and still recovering. Interesting, though. All right, yeah, because somebody asked me, yo, when's Trey going to play? Because McCollum is playing for us already.
And then finally, Day-Day, I know you obviously covering youth sports and high school sports around Georgia. A very strange ending to the Gainesville saga.
Yeah, so they had to vacate their semifinals, or their runner-up, I should say, state championship runner-up trophy, and they received the fine because it was revealed that in the semifinals, they had a player playing that was ineligible. So they have to vacate that win, they have to give up their runner-up status.
Against Rome.
Again, yeah, the game against Rome in the semis. And it's just very, you know, it's like at this point, I was talking to, I think it was you, Carl, in the bullpen and Randy. It's like at this point, if we're honest, not to say that these guys don't care that they were runner-ups, but they don't care that they were runner-ups. You stripping of them of that is not really penalizing them, so to speak, in the way that maybe you think. If you're trying to keep teams from doing this in the future, you need to do something towards the next season. Now, I'm not wishing anything bad on the new. They, you know, they got a new head coach. I would hate for that to happen to him. But if you're going to penalize a team for doing something that, especially that late in the playoffs, you need to penalize them going into the next season in some form,
okay,
in my opinion.
Let me understand this real quick, though. Mike and I talked about this for literally the week.
Right. And the game with New Brunswick, right?
Correct. And I went to bat for Gainesville and saying these kids should be allowed to play, and I want to see them get the opportunity. And what you're telling me is they still cheated.
Correct.
That's what you're telling me.
The player was ineligible.
And they're saying it was a clerical miscommunication between the coaching staff and the administrative staff.
So is this why he left?
It makes you wonder.
Good. I'm good. That was a bit of a clerical error.
It makes you wonder, right?
Is this why he left?
It makes you wonder.
Come on.
Somebody screwed something up. Okay. And by the way, while talking coaches, over in Rusty Manziel Country Day Day, you know John Reed? You know Coach Reed?
Yeah.
Finished with a 116-27 record. Yeah. Over 250 wins in his high school career. Just announced he's going to step down.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Shout out to up
great
there
career. Yep.
Right.
Great career.
Yep. So that's what's on my mind, guys. Think I'm going to go work for the Hawks as a Cowboy and maybe be like, aren't you Day-Day from 92.9 The Game?
Talk to our boy Eric Lee. We got a good friend who does sales for V, and he acts in a lot of TV productions, a lot of TV movies and stuff.
Yeah,
and
we Ray always, Clarkson, too.
I always joke around with our boy Eric. I'm like, are you a judge this time or are you a rat? Because on that Atlanta homicide, girl, that ATL homicide, it's like, well, actually, I'm a junkie rat in this week's episode.
Man, you pick up those spare parts wherever you can get them. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Hell yeah.
Real talk.
Those residual checks, cash.
And so that's awesome. Day-Day, great job. We got a lot going on, guys. If you're just tuning in, it is Dukes and Bell, and John Harbaugh's meeting with the Giants in person today. There are lots of candidates who have been requested by teams who have head coaching job opportunities, including our own Falcons. Who have they added to the list? We're going to tell you, and we'll talk plenty of college football. It's all about retention now. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.